and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Delighted to have you with me. Good afternoon to you, or evening, or wherever you are. I hope it's a good one. I'm sorry. I'm making editorial decisions on the fly as to what I'm going to talk about, because I was going to talk about something yesterday and I left it in the slot, but now I've got something that I would prefer to talk about. But before I get to any of that, though, we got people who want to chime in about Bezos on his rocket ship. I really, really am, having watched that thing blast off, really disappointed in the reporter. I mean, I remain perpetually disappointed in the Reporters of America. But the fact that no reporter thought to ask Jeff Bezos, is that a rocket in your backyard or are you just happy to blast off? I mean, looking at the thing, that was the natural question to ask of Bezos, and they did not ask him. And I'm very disappointed in the reporters for not having my juvenile sense of humor. So nonetheless, I want to go to the phones to talk about this. Bobby is calling in on this one, and I want to take Bobby's call. Bobby, welcome.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Good to talk to you. First-time caller, long-time listener. But I have a question. Nobody asked about the carbon footprint. This is a fossil fuel rocket, correct?
It's unicorn farts, Bobby.
Unicorn farts, and as you said, the other infrastructure is sex toys, so it's part of infrastructure.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is fossil fuel-based. There's hydrogen. That they use a hydrogen fuel, among other things, but there are some initial boosts that are fossil fuel. I don't know that it quite classifies, but, you know, the left is already out blasting the environmental impact of this, and why isn't Bezos spending more money to make Amazon more carbon efficient than spending the money on going to space?
Exactly, and I'm a truck driver out here paying higher prices for fuel, and I'm like, if they're cutting out the pipeline and driving up the prices of fuel, why are we taking high-dollar joyrides for a 12-minute ride into the edge of space and back?
11 minutes. 11 minutes. Bezos' 11 ex-wife minutes, said she wasn't surprised.
And I love your sense of humor and the way you present stuff. You bring facts and you try not to, you give common sense.
Well, look,
what's going on in the world.
I sure appreciate it very much, and thank you for calling. And, you know, to your point there, I mentioned this yesterday, Ezra Klein in the New York Times did a review of a book that is advocating environmental violence in the country now, that environmentalists should start sabotaging oil pipelines, oil and gas pipelines, even as they want to get rid of natural gas stoves around the country. Chefs are upset about it. The environmentalists, that their first thought about Bezos going into into space is the environmental costs. When I will jump into this now, I was going to put it off to later, but I'm going to jump into it now because it's directly relevant to it. You know, one of their plans is solar panels, and we need to convert the planet to solar panels. But did y'all know that creating solar panels is a deeply polluting product? And this gets very much into the last hour. In the last hour, I noted that much of the racial reparations and critical race theory project is a bunch of academically overeducated white progressives in and out of the church. In fact, you're more likely to believe the nation is systemically racist if you're white with a college degree than if you're black. That's the actual data. And the environmentalist segment of these people have decided that we all need solar panels on our roofs so that we stop using fossil fuels. But again, this is a white person privilege that they can do this, because it is actually deeply destructive to the environment to mine the rare earth minerals to make the solar panels. And now there's something new from the New York Times. The New York Times is reporting this. To hear Democrats tell it, a green job is supposed to be a good job, and not just good for the planet. The Green New Deal, first introduced in 2019, sought to create millions of good, high-wage jobs. And in March, when President Biden unveiled his $2.3 trillion infrastructure plan, he emphasized the good-paying union jobs it would produce while reining in climate change. Biden said, "My American Jobs Plan will put hundreds of thousands of people to work, paying the same exact rate that a union man or woman would get." But on its current trajectory, the green economy is shaping up to look less like the industrial workplace that lifted workers into the middle class of the 20th century than something more akin to an Amazon warehouse or a fleet of Uber drivers, grueling work schedules, few unions, middling wages, and limited benefits. Kellogg Dibzinski has seen this up close at Assembly Solar, a nearly 2,000-acre solar farm under construction near Flint, Michigan. "Hey, I see your ads for help," Mr. Dibzinski, an organizer with the local electrical workers union, texted the site's project manager. "We have manpower. I'll be out this way Friday." "Ha, ha, ha, yes. Help needed on unskilled, low-wage workers," was the response. "Competing with our federal government for unemployment is tough." For workers used to the pay standards of traditional energy industries, such declarations may be jarring. Building an electricity plant powered by fossil fuels usually requires hundreds of electricians, pipe fitters, millwrights, and boilermakers who typically earn more than $100,000 a year in wages and benefits when they're unionized. But on solar farms, workers are often non-union construction laborers who earn an hourly wage in the upper teens with modest benefits, even as the projects are backed by some of the largest investment firms in the world. In the case of Assembly Solar, the backer is D.E. Shaw, with more than $50 billion in assets under management, whose renewable energy arm owns and will operate the plant. Part of this is a call for unionization, that wages will go up. Of course, you know, if the wages go up, you know what else goes up? The costs. Can't have cheap renewable energy if you're paying union wages. But wait, there's more. The other angle to this is that these are not the well-paying jobs the Green New Deal promised. Even if they unionize, they're not going to be at the wages that people are making in the fossil fuel industry. Now, part of that is because in the fossil fuel industry here in this country, you're actually extracting the core product from the ground in the United States. With solar energy, you're getting most of that from China. And you're polluting China. You're allowing the pollution of China to get the rare earth minerals, but then you get them here and you manufacture them. It doesn't pay as well. It doesn't pay as well. Since 2000, the United States has lost about 2 million private sector union jobs, which pay above average wages to help revive such, quote, high quality middle class employment, end quote, as Mr. Biden refers to it. He has proposed federal subsidies to plug abandoned oil and gas wells, build electric vehicles and charging stations, and speed the transition to renewable energy. But again, the thing that's missing here is you jack up the wages to a union rate. You know, part of the reason is because the unions then use that money to fund Democratic campaigns. But the other angle here is that it drives up the costs. There's an entire reason when foreign manufacturers moved into the United States and started setting up shop here, and particularly for building cars and the like, they went to right-to-work states, states that did not have aggressive unions. And the reason is because costs were low, so they were able to build functional plants and keep costs down to deliver a good product to consumers. Lamenting the lack of union jobs may sound great, but it drives up the cost of the products and the services if implemented, and it makes the cheap renewable energy not cheap. And it's not even that renewable. When the sun goes down, the solar panel doesn't work. What they've been promising for a while doesn't actually compute. It doesn't work out that way. And they would have you blame non-union jobs than actually realize that there's a whole mess of issues involved here that intersect in ways that keep costs high the moment you add a union to it. But pay no attention to that, please. We've got to get you out of your coal plants and fossil fuel plants and nuclear reactors and put you over here putting up solar panels. And by the way, when you get there, even if it's unionized, it's not going to pay as much. You know, what we should be doing is incentivizing nuclear power in this country. I've mentioned this article in the past that there are more nuclear engineers in Russia and China right now than the United States, because there's only one ongoing nuclear power project in the United States of America. It's in Georgia. They're building a nuclear power plant in Georgia, the first new nuclear power plant in the United States in quite some time. And so the brain trust, the nuclear engineering brain trust in the United States, has died or retired. And they're having trouble building this plant in large part because the knowledge of how to build a nuclear reactor has disappeared in the Western world. You got to go to China and Russia and find their engineers and get them over here and have them build the plants because the Americans don't know how to build a nuclear power plant anymore when we're the ones who invented the freaking technology. All because environmentalists at one point decided nuclear power was bad. Now they need it to keep the lights on when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow. Now, let's see how I got time. I'm going to go to Eddie. Eddie, welcome to the program here. If I can get your call pulled up. Oh, let's see. The call screening program is moving slow at this moment. Solar panels. Sorry, folks. The call screening program is kind of weird. While I'm saying that, let me make one more point on the nuclear power issue here. We got to have baseload power in the country. And if we don't have baseload power, it doesn't matter what renewable energy we have because we're not going to be able to keep all the lights on. Now, Eddie, there you are. Welcome to the program. Sorry about the delay.
Not a problem. Love the show, Eric.
Thank you.
I was telling your screener Saturday, we had a person show up at the house to sell us on a solar power program. They took a satellite image of the roof and all the trees and projected that they could put 27 panels on the roof in sunny areas and that they could put a Generac battery system tied into the house in case of power outages. It would automatically switch over. We would actually be able to sell our excess power back to Georgia Power. However, the drawback was they wanted $200 a month for the next 25 years, approximately $64,000 for this program.
Wow.
I just turned 65. I'm not signing a 25-year contract.
Well, yeah, and supposedly they'll pay the excess. And you know there's a catch on this that a lot of places, including in Europe, are finding out. So the solar power industry, which I'm totally fine with solar power on your roof, but they're getting countries and states to pass laws that allow you to sell the excess energy to the power company. But part of the problem is, in a lot of cases, they're not also requiring you to pay a fee to upkeep the line infrastructure. So in Europe, for example, this is a problem that PG&E had out in California, is there's no money coming in to keep up the lines. They're having to pay you for your excess solar power. And so the lines degrade, the infrastructure collapses because you're not having to pay any sort of fee for it. So it sounds good for you as a consumer, but when you put it into the grand scheme of things, what's actually happening is you, by doing this, are causing infrastructure collapse to the power grid because the power company relies on the people who take power to pay a fee to maintain the lines. And as more and more people enter into these solar power on your roof deals, the power company's having to pay them for the power, and they aren't having to pay for even the portion of the grid that connects to their house. And so the power companies wind up going bankrupt. This is what happened to PG&E in California. Out in California, you know they had to keep turning the power off to avoid fires. Why? Because California told PG&E if they did not upgrade to renewable energy rapidly, they were going to be fined. So PG&E had to take all of the money that they would have put into maintaining the power grid and move it over to adding solar power so they didn't maintain the power grid. And now their whole power grid is a third world country's power grid. That's what we'll get in this country if we go down this road. Look, I am totally fine to allow you to put solar panels on, even to sell the excess to the power company. I'm sure the power company would love to have it. But you consuming the power gets a fee to maintain the grid. And if you're not maintaining the grid, at some point the line is not going to connect. So you got to decide, do I actually want to fund the power grid that actually keeps all of our lights on or not? And you can be the selfish person and put the solar panel on and not connect to the grid and just live off of it and not share the power. And that's fine if you want to do that. I would love to do that. I would love to not pay Georgia Power. No offense to Georgia Power. I would love to have like a windmill and solar power in my yard, never have to pay a power bill again. But if I connect to their line, I should be obligated to help maintain that infrastructure. Otherwise, the rest of you are going to have all sorts of hard times. Do you know why you get free mail services out there? Because, I mean, you're actually the what's being sold to advertisers, among other things, and it's just not smart right now. With so many hackers, so much sensitive information out there, you need a great email service that keeps everything private, and you're not up for sale, you're not getting ads in return. Start Mail keeps everything encrypted. Everything is great, and when you delete it, your email from Start Mail, it's gone forever. Now, you can feel safe with Start Mail because it's backed by the world's most robust privacy laws, and Start Mail uses their own servers, not Amazon's, which means that they can't be put out of the business like Parler was put out of business. You get unlimited anonymous alias addresses. So let's say you need to provide an email to a company, but you want to protect your identity. You don't want to start getting spam from them. Start Mail can generate a shareable alias email for you, and it can be deleted at any time. Now, here's what you got to do. You go to start securing your email privacy with Start Mail by signing up today, and you get 50% off your first year. You go to startmail.com/Eric. That's Start Mail with a T, startmail.com/Eric, for 50% off your first year. startmail.com/Eric. Keep your mail confidential. Keep your email private. Avoid the scams and the hackers with Start Mail. Yes, you can call in and be a part of the program. I am very happy to have you if you want to call in. Now, we got other stuff we have to get into. I am actually kind of intrigued by these Democrats showing up in Washington, D.C. and having their plague with them. A buddy of mine, let me read you his tweet, Caleb Hull, put this out. The Texas Democrats came to D.C. with a case of Miller Lite and left with six cases of Corona. Yes, they did. Now, you know, the vaccine stuff, I have gotten so much hate mail. You know, when I devote my energy to telling you the truth about the election, I get lots of hate mail. I get way more hate mail these days from people when I talk about the vaccines and tell you the truth about the vaccines. You know who else is getting a lot of hate mail today about the vaccine? This guy.
Now, just like we've been saying, please take COVID seriously. I can't say it enough. Enough people have died. We don't need any more deaths. Research like crazy. Talk to your doctor, your doctors, medical professionals you trust based on your unique medical history, your current medical condition, and you and your doctor make a very important decision for your own safety. Take it seriously. You also have a right to medical privacy. Doctor-patient confidentiality is also important. And it absolutely makes sense for many Americans to get vaccinated. I believe in science. I believe in the science of vaccination. Now, there are rare exceptions.
Sean Hannity goes on national television last night and says he believes in science and the vaccines. Talk to your doctor. And encourages people to get vaccinated. For weeks on end, progressives have been blaming Fox News for people not getting vaccinated. So Sean Hannity goes on television and says, you know, talk to your doctor, but I trust the science and the vaccine, get vaccinated. The response from the American left is a big middle finger to Sean Hannity, condemnation. Denunciation of Sean Hannity for doing this. Why?
Because he should have done it last year.
That's what they're claiming. That Hannity waited until the pressure was too much and then suddenly said, go get vaccinated. As opposed to, thanks, Sean Hannity, for doing what we hoped would happen. You know, I am increasingly mindful in my age now that there's either Christianity or there's paganism, and I would prefer Christianity than paganism because Christianity has a concept of grace no other religion has, particularly the left-wing, woke, secular religion. There is no concept of grace. You could say, thank you, Sean Hannity, for doing what we've asked happen, and instead you condemn him for doing what you've said he should do. There's no concept of grace on the left. They are graceless. At least Hannity's got more grace than the people on the left. And by the way, what he said was true. The science bears up that the vaccines are safe. It's a great way to prevent getting COVID. Go get one. Good for him. And it's on the left that they want to condemn him for doing what they wanted him to do. And it takes away any incentive for people to do stuff in the future when the left's solution is to condemn you for doing what they asked you to do. Why bother in the first place? Good for Hannity, bad for them. It's a religion without any grace, secularism is. Now, when we come back, we need to talk about Cuba and what's happening in Cuba. But first, Hasbro and the racist baby. So, fascinating. I mentioned Patrick Ruffini earlier from Echelon Insight saying that 75% of white college-educated Democrats believe that this nation is systemically racist. Only 54% of black Democrats believe it. He's got another data point. The number of white college Democrats who believe most people who want to get ahead can make it if they're willing to work, only 35% of white college-educated Democrats believe that. 48% of black Democrats believe this. This is one of the reasons for the demographic shift of black voters to the Republican Party is because the black voters believe in America and white college-educated Democrats have given up on the country. That's unfortunate. Now, I want to go back to the phone. Cindy has been waiting patiently on all of this talk about electric vehicles and solar panels. Cindy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Eric. I just wanted to say, what if they've been pushing and pushing that everybody should get an electric car. For one, I don't have $60,000 to buy a Tesla.
Yeah.
But I've seen pictures of other countries where people have purchased used electric cars. Once those batteries die, how are you supposed to afford to replace that battery? And isn't that an awful lot of pollution to the environment?
Exactly.
You know, those batteries?
Not only that, I've got a buddy of mine who has a brand of electric vehicle, and he says when it's cold and he goes to the office, his car dies. The batteries don't work in the cold. He lives up north and had to actually swap it out for a fossil fuel burning vehicle because he was so tired of dealing with the battery issues. And you're right. Once the battery goes, it's like a laptop. When the battery goes in the laptop, you've either got to get a new laptop or they got to tear it apart and put a new battery, which is expensive. Same with the vehicle batteries. And the Tesla, you know, has been in the past fairly notorious that if the battery completely goes out to zero, there's nothing you can do. Tesla, frankly, and Cindy, thanks very much for the phone call. Tesla is an overrated vehicle. Now, listen, I'm not going to lie. If someone gave me a Tesla tomorrow, I'd be very happy. But every friend of mine, save one, who has a Tesla has said if they've had problems with it, the delays in getting it fixed are crazy. And in addition to that, the interiors are they're kind of cheap. They got great digital dashboard and stuff, but everything else is problematic. Tesla itself, I think, is a company that hasn't really made a profit in selling vehicles. Elon Musk has been very, very good at getting hype for his company, but not a whole lot else. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Last night on Fox, a Hasbro employee came forward, is a whistleblower. Hasbro, you know, the toy company Hasbro. Hasbro, like many of the Fortune 500 companies, have gone woke. Hasbro's gone woke. Christopher Rufo mentioned, I guess it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, Raytheon. Raytheon is the number two defense contractor in America, and Raytheon is making its employees go through woke diversity training, and part of it is they're making whites-only and blacks-only diversity groups. And white people are told they must internalize their and understand their internal racism and privilege, their latent racism they don't even know about. Well, Hasbro is kicking it up a notch, the toy manufacturer. Listen to this.
So originally, when I saw that I had a meeting focused around CRT, I just thought that I should have the foresight to record it just in case. But once you get like 5 minutes into the meeting and they start saying that your 3-month-old or 6-month-old or your just young child is racist because of how they were born, I just knew I had to send that off to somebody because I felt parents really need to know what was happening.
Yes. So to put this in proper context, the Hasbro diversity program wants you to know, much like a lot of the work out there from Robin DiAngelo and the like, that the moment your white child is born, your child is inculcated in racism. Baby's first words, the N-word, whether they know it or not. That's essentially what the wokes would have you believe. Boko Haram invading corporate America through their diversity and employment opportunity offices is indoctrinating people or bullying people, forcing them to go to these things where they tell them that their white children are racist. Now, there's a great piece at the Wall Street Journal The Hedgehogs of Critical Race Theory. This is by Lance Morrow. The political philosopher Isaiah Berlin turned an obscure fragment by the ancient Greek poet Archilochus, the fox knows many things, but the hedgehog knows one big thing, into an intellectual's cocktail party game. In a famous essay published as a book in 1953, Berlin suggested that the world is divided between hedgehogs and foxes, between those who believe in one big thing, one all-sufficient super-explanation, and those who are content with a more modest, irrational, and even incoherent idea of history's unfolding. Karl Marx was a supreme hedgehog. Everything for him was about the conflict of economic classes. Franklin Roosevelt was a restlessly improvising fox. The world's hedgehog population tends to expand in times of stress and change. Lately, it's exploded in the U.S. Hedgehogs are thick on the ground, all of them advancing one big thing or another, each peering through the lens of a particular obsession. At the moment, the biggest one big thing is race. The key, it seems, to all of America, to the innermost meanings of the country and its history, is skin color. It isn't really true. Race is one of many big things in America. It is hardly the most important. Americans need to desanctify the subject of race to mute its claims, which have grown absolutist and, if it were, theological in their thoroughness, their dogmatism. Critical race theory has spread across the U.S. like, forgive the expression, a virus coming to infect primary schools and high schools and universities, foundations, art museums, big corporations, the military, local, state, and federal government bureaucracies. It's everywhere in the West Wing. President Biden, who spent almost 40 years following the ways of an amicable political fox in the Senate, exchanging pleasantries and now and then doing legislative business with conservative mossbacks like Strom Thurmond and James Eastland, has, in his old age, signed on to the monomania of the left. The hedgehog's trajectory may begin on the side of undeniable and important truth, for example, the truth that slavery was a great wickedness and that race prejudice has been a chronic American dilemma. All true, but the hedgehog who deals in absolutes are liable to get carried away. And they have. They have fundamentally gotten carried away. Everything is now seen through a racial lens in this country. And now here is the stark irony of this. Again, who are the people most likely to believe that the United States is systemically racist? Who are the people most likely to believe you can't get ahead in this country through hard work? Who are the people who believe white people are so inculcated in white supremacy culture they don't even realize they're racist? Are you a college-educated white person? If you are more likely than any other group to believe this. Now, I want you to dwell on this for a moment. Dwell, seriously. Let's spend a moment on this. College-educated white people in the United States are more likely by orders of magnitude than black people or Hispanic people or Asian people to believe that white people are white supremacists. College-educated white people in this country are more likely than black people, Hispanic people, and Asians to believe that through hard work, you may not be able to get ahead in this country. You're more likely to believe your hard work can help you succeed in this country if you're not white and college educated than if you are. You are more likely to believe in the inherent goodness of the United States if you are not a white college educated person. If you're a black person, a Hispanic person, an immigrant, an Asian person, or a white person who didn't go to college in this country, you are more likely to believe in the United States of America. So ask, why is that? Why is it that college educated white people are the most likely group of people in this country to believe that the nation is systemically racist? If your answer is because they know, are you saying the black people are ignorant? Are you saying the black people are ignorant? If you're a college-educated white person, 75% of college-educated white Democrats believe that this country is systemically racist. 54% of black Democrats believe that. Less than 45% of all black Americans believe that. So if you're college educated and you're white, you tend to be Democrat these days. Isn't it racist of you to presume you know better than a black person's experience in this country? Because I got to tell you, I get this from friends of mine now, in and out of the church, who are white, who are well-meaning, who care deeply about racial reconciliation. And they have this sense that they have access to deeper truths than even the black people around them. If you weren't here in the first hour, I mentioned a woman who called this program who was in a racial reconciliation group in Atlanta who got lectured by a white person in the group when the black person disagreed with something, and the white person lectured the black person that the black person had been so surrounded by white supremacy, she couldn't even see it. What does that tell you about the white college-educated Democrat or the white college-educated person? Let's leave the politics out of it. If you are white and college-educated in the United States of America, you are more likely than not to believe that this country is systemically racist, and you believe it more than black people, Hispanic people, Asian people, and non-college-educated white people. You alone seem to believe that you see a system no one else sees. You alone seem to believe you understand how the way the real world works more than anything. Isn't that a level of arrogance? Isn't that a level of racism? Isn't that a level of privilege that no one else has, that you can believe that you know something? And what it actually is, and the name for it, and this is something you must understand here, is Gnosticism. And it is full on in a lot of evangelical churches these days. You got a bunch of Gnostics in there. They believe the world is white supremacist versus everyone else, more so than any black person believes. And they believe that by virtue of their education and their knowledge, they have a deeper knowledge and understanding. And it's not accessible to you by reading the gospel. You got to read certain writers, and those writers will open your eyes to the underlying systemic injustice in our society. That's Gnosticism. The idea that you can embrace some hidden secret knowledge. It's the hedgehogs. They have one big thing that explains everything. And right now, that one big thing that explains everything is race in this country. And the only people in this country who really believe that are college-educated white Democrats, which begs a second question. What the hell is going on in American colleges that white people going to college come out believing that this country is systemically racist, and no one else, no black people, Hispanic people, Asian people who go to college, they don't come out believing it. White people do. What's going on in colleges that indoctrinate white people into a form of Gnosticism that they then go into their workplaces, their HR departments, and their churches and begin to lecture everyone else that they have this secret knowledge about the country being polluted by race that no one else sees, no one else gets, no one else cares about. But by God, because the college-educated white person cares, you too will be made to care. You know what you should care about as well? Clean air and getting mold out of your house, getting mildew, getting pollen, getting the allergens out, getting the odors out. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm can make that happen for you. Right now, you get $200 off a 3-pack of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, which is an incredible deal. This week only, you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack. You get 3 units for under $200. You'll get one for your basement, one for your first floor, one for your second floor, all in the purchase. Now, what you do is you go to EdenPureDeals.com. You'll see my name, Eric Erickson, and you click it. Don't fret about the price that you see when you click through my name. You add it to your cart and then click the orange checkout button. When you check out, you'll see a discount code. When you click on the discount code, you put in Eric and the number 3, no space, E-R-I-C-K, the number 3, E-R-I-C-K 3. And miracle of miracles, poof, it takes $200 off. And you get free shipping. So you get 3 Eden Pure Thunderstorms. You get $200 off and you get free shipping by going to EdenPureDeals.com and put Eric3 in as your discount code. This hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. They're out of Noonan, Georgia, and they can help you nationwide. If you got a business, you want to grow the business, you need access to loans, go to FirstLibertyGA.com, spend 10 minutes with them, see if they're a good fit. They want to help you get to yes on growing your business where a lot of banks are telling you no. It's FirstLibertyGA.com. Thanks to them for sponsoring the program. Y'all, can we just acknowledge, because I'm not ashamed to admit that I have the humor of a 13-year-old boy. I do. And I shouldn't be talking about this on national radio, should I? Yes, I should. So someone far more creative and competent than I am for visual effects has, well, they've photoshopped the video of Jeff Bezos's rocket taking off into outer space. And they, well, it's a giant blue organ. Let's put it that way. I mean, it's kind of what the rocket looks like anyway. Someone's really made it so. That's the Twitter that I'm here for. Just, I don't know. Listen, God bless him for building a rocket ship. And he thanked all the Amazon customers that they helped make it possible. Yep, they sure did. Go buy you some more Amazon stuff. Somebody was telling me where I live now. So we've got an Amazon warehouse now. And there's apparently a place that when you send the returns back to Amazon, they don't all go back to Amazon. They oftentimes can be bought up at low cost by these warehouses that then sell them super cheap. And so you can go to this place and you can buy stuff that people have returned to Amazon. And Amazon just resells to this place. So a buddy of mine went by there and his wife wanted outdoor chairs. And, well, you know, Pride Month ended June 30th. And so they went in, they needed those outdoor chairs, and they had a bunch of Take Pride rainbow outdoor chairs, and they were $1 a piece because, you know, once July 1st hits, all corporate America goes straight again. And so they were ready to sell off their Pride chairs for cheap. And they got a pile of these outdoor chairs for beach and lawn, and they're all rainbows, and they got like Take Pride hashtags on the bag and stuff. But they got them for $1. I mean, it was a steal. It was an absolute steal. I had no idea such a place existed. It's not quite in in the Atlanta area now, there is no safe neighborhood anymore, so it doesn't really matter where it's located. But yeah, in normal times, not necessarily the best of the neighborhoods. All right, the phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. When we come back, I do want to talk about Cuba, because what do we do with Cuba? And unfortunately, I think some conservatives are out attacking evangelicals who are viewed as not sufficiently in the Trump orbit, and in so doing, they're attacking them for not having spoken up about the Cuban situation. Really, we should be speaking about what Joe Biden has decided to do, telling the Cuban refugees they have to go home. But I actually want to take a different angle on this. The left is exposing itself here. We've known who these people were, and they've denied it. And suddenly, they are comfortable showing us who they really are because they think the American public agrees with them on this stuff. And that's not really the case. The American public looks more and more likely to massively reject the Democratic Party next November because of just how far left the Democratic Party itself is drifting on issues like Cuba and the border situation here in the country.